Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
This room, this very chilly room, is called the Stacks, and it's where the special collections at UC San Diego's libraries are kept. Each UC campus has a unique set of collections that attract scholars from around the world. Among those housed here at UC San Diego are the papers of Dr. Jonas Salk, the pioneer of the polio vaccine, Dr. Francis Crick, half of the team who discovered the double helix structure of DNA, and Ted Geisel, better known to millions as Dr. Seuss. Long before he created the Cat in the Hat, Ted Geisel drew political cartoons, offering sharp commentary on the issues of the day. We go now to the special collections at UCLA, where Aaron Flannery has produced a report on graduate students processing previously hidden collections as part of UCLA Library's Center for Primary Research and Training.
The Department of Special Collections is the part of UCLA's library responsible for rare books, manuscript collections, historic photographs, and other rare and special objects. Our department has one of the largest collections in the state of California of manuscript materials and other things too, but particularly of manuscript collections. We have more than 1,700 collections, but that might not sound like such a huge number until you understand that, in fact, some of these collections are scores or even thousands of boxes. We store these collections in a big facility on the campus. We have two floors in this building. Each of the floors is the size of a football field. And no university library really has the resources to keep up with this valuable material. So, faced with this problem and the great backlog that we were developing of fantastic holdings, it occurred to me that a solution might be to involve graduate students who are already at a fairly advanced level of their studies, who have maybe language expertise in addition to subject expertise, and pair them up with some of these collections so that we would be able to draw on their knowledge. We would share our knowledge of how to approach the cataloging and description. They would have first crack at this material that no one else has seen and thereby find an original topic for their dissertations or theses or an article. And in this way, everyone wins.
You open up a box of stuff that's totally unwieldy, that's never been processed before, and there's no telling what's going to be in there. What first attracted me to the center was the idea that I could merge my film background with new skills I was developing in library school. And so what started out as kind of an interest in archival film, restoring film, preserving film, moved into manuscripts and photographs and different sorts of media. Not only do I have a comfort around archives, which I think a lot of graduate students don't, graduate students go into research and archives, and you're scared if you've never been in one before and you don't know how things work. So this is like my home. This is a very comfortable situation for me. It's not terrifying at all. And I made friendships and professional relationships that have helped me out to this day.
We have a trained archivist librarian, currently Kelly Buckley, who oversees the center.
What I would suggest is putting Mylar around this, and that way when people in the reading room handle this, they won't get the red rot all over their hands. So that would be great protection for the book.
She works with each student, helps them understand what goes into doing professional level archival description, and brings every project to fruition. This is what makes it a very robust model.
So this letter I came across, and I basically just had no idea what it was because it's indecipherable. And so I went to Kelly and asked her, what is this? And she said, well, it's an example of cross-writing. to save paper, it's actually written across and then written this way. It took a little bit of effort to read, but it was really interesting. I'm working on the 18th century printing publishing industry, and so a whole part of this collection is letters from booksellers. So I can figure out exactly where they were located in London at the time and see the types of things they were writing to their clients, what their clients were writing to them, authors or people who are doing binding. So I really feel like I have more of a grasp on this world that I'm writing about in my dissertation.
Projects are selected based on two major criteria. One is the student's knowledge and expertise that they would be bringing to the project, and the other is the demand or research value of the collection. Many collections have been sitting for decades untouched. Recently, we were able to process a collection of Tanzanian newspapers that was donated by a political science faculty member.
This would have been a donation that I made sometime in the mid to late 1960s. 40 years later, I was contacted by the center and told that the Zanzibar collection was back on again.
A Tanzanian graduate student applied to work in the center specifically to process that collection.
Janet Kaaya made it her project. And the fact that it's so well done, so well cataloged, and so accessible adds to the thrill of this having happened after that 40-year period.
One of the things that I always tried to keep in mind is, what are the needs of researchers, especially somebody who's going to be looking at this finding aid online and who's trying to figure out whether they want to make a trip all the way out to California? I try to be as descriptive as possible, but also efficient with time. One of my future goals is to become a university-level professor. And in processing these collections, I started to consider possible assignments for students, trying to get them familiar with university archives, delving into manuscripts, documents, ephemera, things that they wouldn't get out of published books necessarily, give them a sense of how history is really alive.
One of the surprising and wonderful outcomes of the center that we've seen over and over again is that as soon as these collections get processed and they're available online, we have people at our door dying to use them.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.